Dynamo, we are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm going to say we're powered up by Royal Farms coffee this morning because I do feel a little caffeinated this morning. But we have the Oyster Tour, and I keep presenting these Oyster Tour dates out with our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions. I'm wearing my Liberty Pure shirt. I have my half drinked Liberty Pure. 1-800 Clean Water is the way to make it happen. Also, our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter doing 26 oysters in 26 days. Now that we're into another month with hours of November, we also have the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven Scratch also be giving those away through the holidays. I have a whole litany of dates beginning really at Coco's on December 4th, but we're going to be hitting it hot and hard. Lots of crab cakes around here. Fadley's. We're doing that on the 12th. We're going to be down at Costas. I think Gina Shock's going to come out. It's going to be a rock and roll Christmas, just like Bruce Springsteen parading through Canada. And I'm trying to avoid the post-election stuff, but at some point I'm going to come up for some air and be talking about that here this week. But we got football. It is old-fashioned. It's Pittsburgh week here. At some point, I'm going to break out. I do have a terrible towel that I use regularly, and maybe I should feature all of the towels I've picked up at every sporting event of my lifetime, in press boxes and all along life's highway. I do have a pink terrible towel, so I may bust it out this week because it is Pittsburgh week. They're in first place. We're banging on the door, and Luke and I are trying to figure out football all weekend long. As Luke spent a holiday away and had a great Sunday. I was on the couch watching, of all things, Pittsburgh versus Washington in a meaningful game. It was $300 to get in down there. I'm watching from the comfort of my couch. My cat made her way up onto my lap, and I mean, I had some Rofo chicken. We went to Pizza John's on Sunday. 3 out of 4 Sundays, Lucas, no Ravens football. What do we do? It's almost like the Colts left town or something, but it's not because Lamar's still really the toast of the town. You and I are talking Tucker this and purple helmets that, and goes god-awful Texans things. They beat you on Sunday night. I don't said they were like radioactive candy apples. I'm up for air. My wife even put college football on Saturday. I watched Ole Miss, the whole thing, Storm in the Field, Lane Kiffin, and memories of Sean McDonough. But it was a sports weekend around here in a way where it's heating up. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the Ravens are. And so are the Commanders, as I talked to John Martin about how sports wagering in the state and seeing the fervor for all of that and watching the Cowboys circle the drain. And some of it was kind of delicious, wasn't it?
It was, and unfortunately, not the best results for the Ravens. I mean, I think obviously Pittsburgh wins down in Landover in a dramatic game there. Although this does set up for easily the most proper Ravens Steelers week we've had in a while, right? This isn't Kenny Pickett against Tyler Huntley. This isn't Lamar sitting out a meaningless game. This isn't Lamar being injured against the Steelers, as we've seen on a couple occasions here in recent years. So exciting on that front. But yeah, Pittsburgh wins, Buffalo wins, Kansas City wins again in unbelievable fashion. I mean, a blocked field goal on a chip shot. I mean, that game, you could tell Kansas City was resigned to the fact that they were going to lose. And you're thinking, okay, well, maybe the Ravens pick up a game here. You know, the number one seed still alive, and then Kansas City's not going to go undefeated. Well, they're 9-0. So, but you look around the league and you see how other teams are faring. You see how other so-called MVP candidates at the quarterback position are faring. By the way, not nearly as well as Lamar Jackson. I'll just throw that out there. But
Well,
it's
dude, you're
always.
the original. Listen, I'm going to stop right now and just tell everybody you're the original Lamar pimp. I mean, you've always loved
I'm
Lamar.
really not,
You
though. I mean,
know,
it's just I've liked him more than you, though. I mean, I'll say that much. But that doesn't mean that I've never thought he was
it's never that I
infallible
didn't
or.
like him. I just don't like that he's this good and somebody's going to trip him up and turn an ankle
Right.
and god awful
Yeah,
things
I
will
hear you.
happen because he does things that Joe Flacco doesn't, and including like Flacco in the first quarter on, I mean, sitting it
Yeah.
out for a weekend when you're just red zoning all day, watching from the universe and saying, This is interesting. A Washington Pittsburgh 1 o'clock game after the god-awful Germany thing that I always find Germany interesting, as you know, from a family reference. And then the 4 o'clock games that weren't much. And you know, like as you sit around and you watch it, and the Ravens are still the toast of all of this, still very, very much in the middle of this. Mahomes struggled. They had to block a kick. I mean, and that was sort of the secondary 1 o'clock game until it wasn't anymore. It's just no wonder people gamble on this, is what I would say. You know, I mean, it is fun to just be on the outside waving a towel, but boy, this Raven Steelers thing starts to really become they'll be breaking out the Roethlisberger, Ray Lewis, Jerome Bettis wars, right? Before
Yeah,
this is over with.
like I said, it feels as legit as proper of a Ravens Steelers matchup when you consider, and I understand. I mean, it's not as though the Steelers haven't made the playoffs, right? But while I think there's still very much a sense of what exactly are they? Are they a really serious contender with Russell Wilson or no? And I still lean towards no, but hey, you go down to Landover and you beat a Commanders team that's played the way that it's played. You got to give them some credit. And I mean, Russell Wilson, I'll say this, the Mike Williams acquisition, Mike Williams is the perfect receiver for the kind of deep ball that Russell Wilson is still very apt at throwing. For as much as he isn't the guy that he was in Seattle 5 or 6 years ago overall, he can still do that. And we know the Ravens have had their major issues stopping the deep ball. So,
Look, I would say they're formidable enough. They're better than
sure.
Cleveland. And oh, by the way, you know, I was paying attention 2 weeks ago, right? And the same thing with Cincinnati, how dangerous they were when you're making mistakes and when your defense
Yeah.
can't stop a nosebleed, as my old partner, Buddy Ryan, would say. And, you know, dangerous is what I would say. They're dangerous. I mean, by the way,
Sure.
my wife found this in the drawer. You won't see me ever hold a gold one, although I did one time at a Super Bowl, and I think I admitted to that. But this is the Myron Cope original terrible towel from downtown Pittsburgh. So that wasn't a bad one, right? That's a pretty good one,
That was
right?
okay.
That was okay. I mean, it
Yeah.
wasn't. You know, I'd make some money in a Pittsburgh charity thing, but nonetheless. Look, I've been to all of these. You and I've gotten in the car, been a part of all of this, you know, gone up, walked across the bridge, all of that. You know, I would say we got real used to it being really important, and that so did the Cowboys and the Redskins 40 years ago, right? And all of these other sort of rivalries in sports. Tomlin's done it again. You know what I mean? He's made them relevant again, and their defense is relevant again. Now, the injury at the end of the game and Highsmith and what's going on. But I look up and I see the 11 guys, and I tell my wife this. If the one thing, and I probably could remedy this in some way, but all of my adulthood, all of my childhood, I had a flip card. Even at Skipjack's games, I had a depth chart and lines, and the way I see and a scorecard at baseball games, and like all of that. I miss flip cards, you know, at games or watching games with a flip card. But the flip card of the Steelers on defense specifically, and at skill positions, if they have a quarterback who's good enough. I mean, he's a Super Bowl champion. He's been going to the Hall of pretty good from what I can tell, right? And has a second act in him that's starting to smell a little more Kurt Warner-y or a little more Ironery or a little more Joe Flacco-y. And I know he's short and you look at him and the stature, and I think Kyler Murray, we overlook that. And then you watch him throw the football. You look at Lamar Jackson, who they wanted to make a running back, a wide receiver, a punt returner, whatever they wanted to do with him. And you start to evaluate this thing and say what's good enough and what how important is defense. You and I go on and on and on about the lack of that with the Ravens and throwing the ball over your head. I mean, I look at the Steelers defense and say, man, if we had that, or you know, we thought we had that because we have Roquan Smith, we have Madubuike, we have Humphrey, we gave all this money to Marcus Williams, who probably shouldn't be on the field, and we'll debate that all week. But this is a red hot game this week. This is what we wish for as Ravens Steelers fans, I think. And I think the Ravens are vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean, on defense, certainly. Now, I mean, as good as the Pittsburgh defense is, are they going to stop the Ravens? No, I don't think anyone's stopping the Ravens offense. Are they good enough to slow it down? And then in concert, can Russell Wilson make plays in the passing game? That's where you look at this and say, I think they can. And look, we can talk all we want. I've talked about this a lot with you the last few years. I think all things being equal, there's been no debate that the Ravens have been better than the Steelers for the better part of the last 5 or 6 years. However, the head-to-head matchups have been weird. Lamar has missed plenty of them, so throw those out for a moment. But even the ones in which he's played, they've been weird games. I mean, that game that no one paid attention to back in early October of last year because the Orioles were getting ready to lose a playoff game to the Rangers. Remember that game was bizarre. Lamar played so well through the first, what, 3.5 quarters, dropped passes galore. Pittsburgh couldn't really do anything other than just hang around in that game. It was really ugly. The Ravens had a lead, but could have been up by 3 touchdowns. And then what happens at the end of the game? Marlon Humphrey has the ball thrown over his head, and Lamar Jackson throws a really bad pick trying to force one to Odell Beckham in the end zone. I mean, a game that they lost where you look up and say, and I was sitting in the Orioles press in the Camden Yards press box at the time, and I said to myself, how in the world did they lose that football game? But that's happened a couple different times here in recent years, a few different times in recent years against the Steelers. So look, they look better than they've been in recent years, where they've snuck in as the last wild card. No one for a second thought they were real.
You have to buy into the quarterback to think they're real, and we never
Sure.
bought into Tommy Maddox 30
Sure.
years ago, right? Like,
Right. I mean, Kenny
you're
Pickett
either
and
buying
Mason
it or you're
Rudolph.
not
Yeah.
buying it, right?
Right. Right. So in the case of Russell Wilson, look, let me be very clear. I'm still not buying into Russell Wilson in the way I would have 5 years ago, but he made the play at the end of the game. I mean, Mike Williams, who didn't even know the playbook, and they're explaining to him what to do, catches a touchdown. And he's the kind of guy, oft injured as he might be, who kind of fits what they want to do offensively, right? He's not going to be a big part of what they do. And Pickens is their number one, clearly, but he can make a big play, and he can certainly catch one if you're not going to cover on the back end of the defense. So this is definitely a very interesting test for the Ravens going on the road. Obviously, a big game when you consider what the standings look like right now. And you alluded to it. Look, from a true talent level standpoint, do I like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase better than anything Pittsburgh has to offer offensively? Yeah, of course I do. But Cincinnati's 4-6, so you are what your record says you are at the end of the day. And Pittsburgh, while they've had a pretty soft schedule to this point, going into Sunday's game, let's say, but they're 7-2 mathematically. I mean, they're right there, and this is a huge game for the Ravens. And as I alluded to, no matter what you want to say about the true talent level of these two teams over the last 5 or 6 years, the Steelers have had the Ravens' number, albeit in some games here where Lamar's rested or not played or whatever, but you still need to go out there and take care of business. So this is a big game. And again,
This
Pittsburgh.
it looked more like a layup weeks ago, though, right? I mean, as we've
Yeah,
gotten
sure.
closer into this, the fact that we're having this conversation while we're discussing, our turkey dinner and just the weirdness of the scheduling for the Ravens from here out. We're used to Baldinger would always say to me, "We're fruit fly, 7 day life cycle of fruit fly. We do the same every 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, and we like to do it that way." Boy, they're being tested in that way, as are the fans. Wednesday night football at Christmas, Saturday night football. I went through this with my wife. I mean, literally. And I'm like, when do they play? Well, they play on Monday night against the Chargers. And yeah, this is the Sunday we're around, and we can do a brunch this week and have a family obligation, and Deacon Jones can be Deacon Jones. And we can have a Catterday around here on Sunday with sitting around watching Red Zone, which I love being a fan of the league. You know that, Luke. I've become way more non-denominational after the Chad Steele incident, being that you're in a press box and I'm not anymore. I wear my Oiler gear and have a good time with it. But I'm not a gambler, so I don't see it that way. And the oldness for me to witness all of that perception of all of it and the way the players deal with it, where Lamar's, I don't care about your parlays and all that. I see where you could get sucked into it because I'm sitting there watching college football or watching games, and I'm even saying to my wife at halftime, "Well, Falcons are going to win this one." And looking at it and thinking, like, if I was in a casino right now, I wonder if I put $1 on the Chargers to actually win this game when they're ahead or behind, how all that would even work. Because that's how my mind is working on a Red Zone when I'm sitting at home, and I'm sober and I'm not really into what I guess the young kids are into, or into the celebrity part of it, or any of that stuff anymore. I'm more evaluative of thinking like, could Kirk Cousins win a Super Bowl? Can Russell Wilson lead the Steelers to 12 wins this year? You know, can one guy on one team, Joe Burrow, with one connection, can that get them to 10 wins? I think about it in that way, like a sports radio guy. But boy, when I sit here on Sunday and it's like Fred Flintstone, bad, 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 I think I start to do think about the financial part of like, you can bet on anything. That's the first thing I think about. But I also think about like how lucky we are to be in a position. And I tweet these things out loud when if you follow us at WNSD, but like to not be a Jets fan or some of
Oh.
these places where it's like on perpetual fire, Cleveland, even though they beat us 2 weeks ago, I did a week of that around here. But like Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the expectations of the fan bases, the fact that the coaches never change, the media never changes. By the way, a cheap shot for you and for Charlie Batch is like we talk about quarterbacks that can or can't beat us. Charlie will be coming on this week to talk about how he can beat us. But this rivalry is so rich, and all the things I dreamed about 3 decades ago about getting back in the league and thinking we were going to be playing Miami and Buffalo and the Jets and like the way it was with the Colts. This Raven Steelers thing is really unique in the league at this point, and really unique with the coaches and the history of all of it, because I don't know the coaches are going to survive 16, 15, 18 years much. You want Tom Landry versus Don Shula? This is it right here. This is it.
Yeah, and I think, and we've talked about this in recent years, because the rivalry has cooled off to the degree that it has over the last, post Ben Roethlisberger, let's say, post Suggs and Roethlisberger. I mean, they were the last members of the old guard, really. And obviously, Pittsburgh's had their issues trying to figure out a quarterback. And Russell Wilson's a quarterback right now. I'm not convinced he's going to be their quarterback even next year, let alone a couple years from now.
Dude,
But
I
for
saw him play in Denver 2 years ago. I'm like, oh my God.
Exactly. But
Oh
the
my,
point.
but that's not, he is, I mean, he's to be commended, you must say, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, Russell Wilson was a great quarterback for a long time. But I think it's clear what's happened to him the last couple of years. Now he's here. I've even you made this comparison. I saw a couple people say this on social media. I mean, is this his Kurt Warner arriving in Arizona? People forget Kurt Warner was a New York Giant for 5 minutes, right? And how bad that went. We kind of saw that up close and personal. With the Giants coming into Baltimore, what was that? 2004, I guess it was. And Eli Manning not having no idea what he was doing and kind of thinking about where they were at that point. But you just look at this rivalry. Yes, it's cooled off in recent years. It hasn't had the same juice. So much of that has to do with Lamar missing so many of these games because of injury, or they played in week 18 or week 17, and the Ravens haven't had anything to play for, and Lamar's sitting, as was the case in the season finale last year. So, but the thing that's beautiful about Ravens Steelers, and this alludes to what you were just talking about, is the fact that it was such a great rivalry for so long that it became a legacy rivalry in the same way that you talk about, not right now, but historically speaking, Washington Dallas or some of those different ones where they'll have their ebbs and flows and they'll have those times where one team isn't as good, or in the case of Washington Dallas, neither team very good many times over the last 30 years. But
This is an era. This
you
isn't
just,
even like a decade. This is like, you know,
yeah.
I can't think of anything in the league that rivals it in the modern vernacular. I really can't. I mean, and I think things like Cowboys 49ers during a period of time, right? And that was
Right.
perception because they weren't in the same division. And even Eli Manning and Tom Brady, right? You know, there was, but that's not the same as 2 times a year and some playoff disappointments and
Yeah.
championship games and Flacco to Polamalu and you know I mean
You have
and
so.
having attended all of these it's a beautiful thing from the fan base and really well placed and the fact that you know Highsmith and I mean Najee Harris went to just looking at health from the Ravens perspective this is going to be a great week this is going to be the center of the football universe this week I believe that.
Well, you do have Chiefs Bills. I mean that game as well right now. But But no, the point I was trying to make is when you have something that has become a legacy rivalry, which means, okay, it hasn't been the red hot Ravens Steelers that both games would be in prime time every single year the way it was in the late, 2000, circa 2006 through 2014, let's say. And even you could go earlier than that, and it was blatantly nasty between the two teams. I mean, the Lee Flowers, Shannon Sharp, Plaxico Burress, Chris McAllister. I mean, those guys hated each other. There was no respect at that point. It morphed into a healthy respect, even if they didn't like each other. In recent years, it's just been respect, and there really hasn't been an edge to it at all. So,
Dude, you sound like you're talking about, Georgia Championship Wrestling and Gordon
oh yeah, well,
Soley
hey.
in the
But that we're media guys. We're selling it, right? I mean, this is Gorilla Monsoon and Vince McMahon or Jesse the Body Ventura talking about it. So, but no, I think what's great about this is now that you have a situation where obviously the Ravens are where they are right now, which from a true talent standpoint on offense, best in the league. Defense, another story, and certainly we'll see how that looks against Pittsburgh, in Pittsburgh on Sunday afternoon. But you have a Steelers team that, look, the defense has remained good. I mean, when you have someone like T.J. Watt leading the way and that defensive front, I mean, that is a tough defense. But now you throw Russell Wilson into the mix, who, again, is he the Russell Wilson he was 5 years ago? No, I don't think he is, but he's still capable. And what he does best, that those moon ball deep balls that he throws, Ravens have to defend that. And they have to defend Pickens and they have to defend Mike Williams. And they've got to be able to do that. Am I as concerned about Pittsburgh's running game against the Ravens? No, I'm not, because the Ravens' run defense has remained stout. But I think you look no further. And we talked about this a little bit in the aftermath of the Cincinnati game. But even having a couple conversations with, some other media types and even just a couple of my friends over the weekend having a chance to get away a little bit. But, I look at what happened in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago against a team with a good defense, at least on paper, hasn't performed like it did a year ago, but still a good defense. Now, subtract Za'Darius Smith, but at the time they had him. And you had a team that was able to get some stops against the Ravens offense. Some, the Ravens scored 24, which is still better than so many offenses around this league. And then you saw what happened with Jameis Winston throwing the football. Jameis Winston. So if Jameis Winston can do that against you, you look at these next couple of weeks at Pittsburgh and then at the Chargers for a Monday night game, another team with a really good defense. And then you come home playing against Philadelphia, who is playing much better than they were earlier in the year and defensively has looked better. Not great, but better than they looked early in the year. You look at these three games, beginning with your rival on Sunday. If we come out of these three games and the Ravens are sitting there in first place, they'll have earned it because this is a pretty difficult 3 week stretch. I mean, yeah, I don't want to say make or break, but it could be make or break in terms of wanting to be positioned to win the division at the very least. So this is a big, big stretch, and it's a challenging stretch, and it begins with your rival. And Pittsburgh should have all the confidence in the world going into Landover and beating a Commanders team that's been really good. So this is a major challenge. It's a colossal, easily the biggest challenge that Pittsburgh has faced all. I think that's evident. And as far as an opportunity for them to show that they're legit, legit. But for the Ravens, I mean, let's face it, again, say what you want about the talent level of these teams. The Ravens have had their issues and weird things have happened. And they've lost a lot of games to the Steelers the last few years. Even games where you sit there and scratch your head and say, how in the world did you lose it? Well, they lost it. So they've got to take care of business. But I mean, this is fun because these legacy rivalries, they can be a little more on the dormant side for a couple years. But as soon as both teams are relevant, there's no heating up. The highlight packages for all the ESPNs of the world, they've got those things in the can ready to go, right? They'll be hyping it all week in the same way that Ravens Chiefs will be hyped all week, or Bills Chiefs will be hyped all week. I mean, these are some big time games. And I'll say this, a couple weeks ago, I was really wondering if this game was going to get flexed. I think the only thing that saved it is Pittsburgh plays a Thursday night game at Cleveland, to immediately following this game. Otherwise, I'm guessing Sunday Night Football would have wanted this game. So it stays at 1 o'clock. I'm happy with that as someone making the trip out to Pittsburgh this weekend, but exciting, exciting and big challenge for both these teams. I saw the early line. Vegas likes the Ravens, which makes sense. I would too if I'm being objective about it and looking at it on paper and how proven the Ravens might be compared to maybe Pittsburgh not being quite as proven to this point, but
Not
hey.
hard to sell it inside your locker room when it's not Jimmy the Greek having to talk about the numbers anymore, right? Like, we disrespect, dude. They're favorites coming into our building. That ain't hard selling Pittsburgh, is it?
No, shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. And they can say, hey, we're 7-2, they're 7-3. We're ahead of them in the division. But I thought it was interesting. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this because my pastor, who I've talked about this, is a Pittsburgh fan. He even sent me the clip of Mike Tomlin post-game being asked about Jaden Daniels and comparing Jaden Daniels to Lamar Jackson. And Tomlin was just like, hey, let's slow your roll a little bit comparing anyone to Mr. Jackson, a multi-time MVP and all that. One, I thought that was appropriate admiration and respect for the Ravens quarterback. Two, Mike Tomlin is very deliberate in what he says. I also thought there could have been a little bit of buttering Lamar up a little bit there, hoping, hey, maybe play into being a little overconfident. And, Lamar, say what you want about Lamar, what he's done against the Bengals when he's been healthy, which is, completely kind of owned that series when he's been on the field in recent years. But Lamar, albeit not as many games because he's missed a lot of them, he's had some issues against Pittsburgh relative to compared to Cincinnati. So hearing Tomlin say what he said after the game, one, I think he was being genuine, but I also think there was a deliberate part to that of, maybe lulling Lamar into, a little bit of a sense of being overconfident, maybe. Who knows? Again, these teams, we'll see what happens 1 o'clock on Sunday, but I'm all for a Ravens Steelers game that feels as big as it's been in a while. I think that's stating the obvious at this point.
Sitting around watching the 4 o'clock game, sort of half awake, half asleep, and I realize the Chargers are around the corner. I'm watching them play, and I'm watching Dobbins do this and that. And I said to my wife, I'm like half the Ravens team out there, and she's like, yeah, I saw Edwards running. I'm like, I thought he was hurt. And like, I'm thinking about who's healthy and who's not, and who's there and who the additions are. And I fell into the pregame shows on Sunday and trade additions. And then Williams goes and makes this huge play after Pickens. I'm tweeting about how good that play was that Pickens made early in the game. And I'm thinking that's really where the weakness of the Ravens. And it's amazing to me to hear people chirp about, much like in baseball, the day after the trading deadline, our buddy Jason Lockenfora, who, hope you're okay, Jay. I just want to say, hope you're doing okay. There's a lot of anger out on that timeline. But like, there is a lot of anger on the back end of these trading deadlines that we didn't do enough. We didn't do enough. Why didn't we get, why didn't we go after the cornerback? We have to give three draft picks up for that, and he couldn't even play this week for Washington. So I don't know how to be critical because I'm a responsible journalist. I'm not a hot take guy, and neither are you, which is probably why our audience here is relatively sane and we lead relatively sane lives around here, from not being that reactive to it in some really flippant way. But there is a point to say, how much could they have done last week? And it does feel like the Steelers added a little bit on both sides of the ball to say we did a little bit more. And even in the Russell Wilson edition, I know, like, when all of that went down off season, we can scoff at that. And I don't want to say they look, I mean, look, 2 weeks ago, they were firing Tomlin for the 20th time. I wonder why. In Western Pennsylvania. And it was because he had the audacity to let the younger guy sit and let the other guy play. And that's all they've done is win, 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 no matter what. So it's not like Tomlin has to point and say, I'm the genius. He's going to the Hall of Fame, right? And like, but there have been these moves that if you're on the radio in Pittsburgh or a hot take guy or whatever, but the additions and the trade additions, at least for a week, smell good there. I guess time will tell where the Ravens are and where they'll be at the end with Tre'Davious and with Ngakwe, who got claimed, right? I mean, we didn't think that was going to happen from a pass rush. You said he was the fourth or fifth guy. Well, he's now the not their guy. So things have happened here, including the Ravens having to play two games in a couple of days, and the whole Cleveland debacle, and surviving all of that to get to this point. But the trading deadline in the league becomes a hot button amongst fans to some degree, and in Pittsburgh, it's a real genius situation this week, right?
Well, I mean, the early return, sure. Now, if Mike Williams gets hurt on Sunday, as unfortunately has been the story of his career, and or does it make much of an impact, or Preston Smith, who looms a little bit bigger with Alex Highsmith, who I assume is probably not going to play this week. I mean, the reports were he was on crutches after the game. I'm guessing it's probably going to be a couple weeks. We'll see about Kyle Hamilton. On the flip side, the tests and all that have looked good. That doesn't mean he's going to play this week, but the good news is Kyle Hamilton not anticipating a long-term absence or anything like that. But again, is he healthy and available on Sunday, which is a massive game? I mean, it's a massive game for both these teams. But yeah, just to get back to the trade deadline, look, I think some criticism is fair, but I think it also has to be done appropriately, right? I think it has to be done in understanding what are the asking prices, who's available. I mean, look, I said over and over, I would have loved to have seen Za'Darius Smith back as a Raven. I don't think Cleveland was even entertaining the idea of trading him to Baltimore or to Pittsburgh, right? I don't think that that was a reality. I haven't gotten any indication that that was a reality. I don't know that 100%, but point is, we said all along, are they going to trade within the division? And like I said, even if it's dumb for teams to think that way, because why cut yourself off at the knees in terms of trying to get the best possible deal? If the best possible deal was one of your division rivals, so be it. But I know, I mean, it's been out there. I mean, there are reports out there. The Ravens were in on Lattimore, who went to Washington, didn't play this week. But I think the other funny takeaway about that game is, you look at Washington, they could use someone like Marshon Lattimore. So we'll see how, once he gets back on the field, we'll see how he looks
Well, they
there.
gave up
But,
real draft stock to do that,
and they
not
did,
let's switch
sure.
seventh round draft picks maybe someday down the line,
Right,
right?
exactly. And I know, because I even having talked to some people as well, I mean, the Calais Campbell thing was real in terms of bringing him back. I don't know if what happened exactly at the very end at Miami suddenly want more than they had originally been asking for. Did they just get cold feet? Whatever. But Calais Campbell would have helped. But I'll say this, Travis Jones being back, we saw the pass rush look much more legitimate, much more formidable, albeit against the Bengals offensive line that's not very good at full strength and didn't have Orlando Brown. So I don't want to sit here and say that the pass rush is fixed. But yeah, when you look at the trade deadline, and we did this talking about the Orioles as well, right? I mean, the Orioles made all kinds of trades at the deadline. And I made the point that more often than not, most of these deals aren't going to do a whole lot good or bad for you. So for the Ravens, we'll see. I mean, Deontay Johnson has been minimally involved to the point where I'm not so sure he was even, I think he probably is frustrated right now. If you're him, you come in and you see Nelson Aguilar and Tylan Wallace, two guys he's supposed to be ahead of, catching touchdowns on Thursday night. So you have that.
Well, I'd
And in the
also
case,
say when, and this is where
one
you and I
football.
get sideways.
One
There's one
football.
football, and more than that, this team really doesn't want to throw the football. Really, they don't want to throw it 50 times. They want to throw it 22 to 25 times, kind of, sort of, in a perfect world, if the clock's right and they're running right and the steam train's running the way it's running, and shorter drives and like all of that. I'm when you come in, you sort of sign up for the fact that Lamar's the greatest running back on earth. Derrick Henry's going to the Hall of Fame. It is a run first sort of program, and then build from there, right? I mean, that's just factual. I mean, that's not me being mean or anything like that. That's what you tell Deontay Johnson, anybody, right? Like, you just say, this is where it's going to be. Zay Flowers knew that when he got drafted into this. He wasn't getting 15 targets. So, you know what I mean? That's not what this isn't the AFL. This isn't the WAC.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree that it's that they don't want to throw the football, but they want to be balanced. That's really what it is. And they're not They don't go into a game saying, oh, Zay Flowers needs to catch 10 passes and have 130 yards. They don't go into a game saying, oh, Mark Andrews needs to be fed the football. They don't go into the game saying Derrick Henry needs X number of carries. They don't. They take what the defense gives them. So we've seen games where Lamar throws for 300 some yards and has a perfect passer rating and throws four touchdowns. We've seen that. We've seen, I mean, Lamar's second in the league in passing yards right now, Nestor. So I disagree and I reject the notion they don't want to throw the football, but they don't have this idea in mind that, oh, we must carry it X number of times, or we must throw it X number of times, or Lamar needs to get this number of passing yards, or we've got to feed Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman X number of targets.
Hey,
No, they
dude,
don't play like
remember when
that.
Lamar wasn't going to play here anymore because of his close personal relationship with Hollywood Brown, who couldn't get the ball enough, right? Like, and I, so I, you know,
So,
this comes back to Coach Ekman doing a little of philosophizing here during a Pittsburgh Baltimore week, is to say when you sign up here and somebody asks you how the game went, you don't say, I caught seven balls for 84 yards.
you
You
say
say,
whether
we
you win or
won.
lost.
We won, right? I mean, like literally,
No
and
doubt.
that's the way this program works. That's not the way a lot of wide receivers and their agents would be thinking about things. Like, I'm just saying, like,
Sure.
to buy in on that or to get dealt into this, when you come here, you from where did he come from,
He
Luke?
came Carolina, but
Yeah,
Pittsburgh
okay.
before
Well,
that.
you come from Carolina and you used to be in Pittsburgh. And you come to Baltimore, the first thing your agent says is, I got good news for you. You might win the Super Bowl. I got bad news for you. A good day is going to be four catches for 84 yards in this offense. That's like that's the bad news. So that's literally right? I mean, I'm trying to be as grown up as I can be here on this thing.
And again, I'm not suggesting that he won't fit in and make some plays from time to time, but I want to Tre'Davious White, we'll see with him. I think I'm fascinated on, and we're not going to find out in practice this week. I don't get to watch enough of practice, right? We see special teams, but what work did they do on the defense over the weekend? Are we going to see changes? I think an interesting wild card, and maybe Tre'Davious White factors in at this in this equation at some point. They do have some players like Brandon Stevens, for example, with some positional versatility. Keep in mind, go back to last training camp. Brandon Stevens, they wanted him to be a safety. It was because Marlon Humphrey had foot surgery and other guys, Rock Ya-Sin got hurt and they had some other guys banged up in their secondary that Brandon Stevens was back at corner. And look, he ended up having a really good year. Don't get me wrong. But with things being where they are, you have a first round pick in Nate Wiggins who is playing, but not still not playing a whole lot. And penalties aside, he's actually done some, had some good performances and everything. Do we perhaps see the Ravens pull the trigger on getting Nate Wiggins on the field more opposite Marlon Humphrey? And maybe, again, I'm throwing it out here, it's spitballing, because why wouldn't you spitball when you're 32nd in pass defense right now? Maybe do you start to see Brandon Stevens start cross training a little bit and maybe playing a little more safety? What does that do for Marcus Williams? What does that do for how you use Kyle Hamilton? We'll see, right? Ardarius Washington, but you can't maintain the status quo. And in fairness to them, they haven't. They've benched guys, they've deactivated guys. In the case of Yannick Ngakoue, they waived someone, right, to get David Ajabo back on the
They
field. And
brought in Dean Pease. If I would have talked to you in August,
right.
they were bringing Dean Pease in.
I told you at the time, my response to that was, now I'm really worried about the, and I
I
didn't
would
mean
have
that.
said, well, you're bringing buttered peas in for Thanksgiving, or what are you talking about here? For the, right? I mean,
That was the signal. That was the tell that they were concerned about this. Again, you bring in Dean Pease in early August, everyone says, hey, that's a shrewd move. You bring in Dean Pease after week five, everyone says, oh, wow, you're really worried about your defense and your defensive coordinator and your personnel, and you're trying to get another experienced mind in the room to try to sort this out because your pass defense is a mess. So we'll see. Again, I'm fascinated to see what's going to happen specifically with the safety position. You said it, and it's tough for me to disagree, Nestor. Marcus Williams, I mean, everyone has seen the clip. I mean, the Amazon broadcast showed it, the not the all 22 look, but the field cam look of seeing that deep ball to Chase. I mean, what in the world was Marcus Williams doing there? I mean, he looked like he was lost. He looked like he was just, he had no idea what he was doing back there. So, do we see a change there? Do we see him, his role alter slightly? I don't know, but boy, you've got to figure it out because Pittsburgh isn't a juggernaut offensively by any stretch, but Russ Wilson likes to throw the deep ball, and he's got some guys who can catch the deep ball, and they have a good defense, and that's a defense that might be able to get some stops against the Ravens offense here and there.
And he is that guy that can get out of a pocket and just
Chuck the
move
ball
enough,
downfield.
and is the, you know, no offense, he might be the greatest that's ever done it in that way, being the height that he is to get out of the pocket and see things that, you know, Brian Billick would have looked at him 25 years ago and just said, he's just not tall enough to see out of the
Sure.
pocket.
That's why he was a fourth round
And
pick, right?
yeah,
Or
I mean,
third
like,
or fourth round, whatever it was.
and you know, whatever you think of Tom Brady, if you ever stood up on Tom Brady's a big man. You know, like bigger than you think. You know, just he stands among. Same thing with Joe Flacco. People think Joe Flacco. I mean, Joe Flacco is a really big, big man, and Russell Wilson is not, and Kyler Murray's not. Lamar's bigger than people think he is. You know, I mean, for sure. And you know, maybe built more like a wiry running back if you put a 32 number on him or 34 on him, and he looked like a running back. That's my old guy. When you know guys are still running around, and I'm like, is that a linebacker? Is that a safety? That's a corner. What the hell are these guys doing wearing these numbers? Get off my lawn. It's a Pittsburgh Baltimore week. I've got my pink terrible towel. I mean, don't think that I wave this or anything. I mean, I literally just wash my dishes. Oh, they're upside down. That's nice. That's really disrespectful to put the flag upside down the way that would be disrespectful to Myron Cope and every. So I have my little towel. It's Pittsburgh week. I hope we get together and yell more about it. Charlie Batch is going to come in this week. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all month long into the holidays. All brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Powering up, Luke, getting back and forth to training camp and beyond, and up to Pittsburgh this weekend. Breezewood, I love yous guys. All right, it's a long week around here. Exhale. We've got Sundays without football and Sundays with football. This is one with football around here. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. Stay tuned and stay still. We're WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.